It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you. This is Caffeinated Comics. I am your host, John Clark. With me, as always, is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
And I am so glad to be back. We did not miss an episode because we saved a few, but we've been off for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, what happened, John?
I had a baby.
John had a baby.
His wife had a baby.
Well, she had a baby and I got up.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I had been drinking in the comic store the night before with several of the gentlemen that are in here.
Yeah, I wasn't there for that.
Ooh. No, you were in the wind. That's what your text said.
I'm mysterious.
But with us today, we have comic book historian Joe Pakovitz.
Hello, hello.
And back from 4th of July, wearing his Captain America hat again.
Yay! New work hat.
Stu McLean.
Hello, hello.
And we can talk about the baby, or we can jump right into the topic.
Let's do a little bit of the baby first.
Maybe. All right. Well, Stu, you're having your second. That's coming soon.
Yes, a daughter.
When is that? When is the due date? You don't know? Okay. Maybe
not. Hi, honey.
Oh. Well, Stu, you don't listen to the podcast. What are the odds that your wife listens to the podcast?
She's going to listen to this one because I'm on it at least the very first 5 minutes. Well, thanks for that. Thanks. Hi, honey. I love you.
So we'll save that for the end. We'll save it for the end of the hour.
There we go.
No, but we had it. We record every Saturday at noon, and my wife.
Noonish.
Yeah, we had our second son Saturday at 10 in the morning, so we didn't record that week.
That would have been an interesting podcast.
No, but the night before, the block threw my wife a baby shower, so Joe and I didn't have anything to do, so we went down to the store where Dave Gonzalez and Stu were, and then Lisa and Tina were there.
It was like a party.
It was. We brought rum with us, and we were there for like, we were there for 4 hours. You guys had been there all day. And then I got home at like 1, and at 4 o'clock I got woken up
and
said, let's go to the hospital. So, but everything's doing well. Everything's fine. He's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so now I got two kids. And my oldest is now into Batman, like actually into Batman.
Yeah.
Like,
how old's Ben?
He's six.
And you think six is like the age kids are like, that's the time where they're just like, all right, Batman's awesome.
I guess so, but I was younger because I remember being three or four watching Adam West and then Sesame Street, and I had the Migos.
Yeah.
And I actually stopped five or six because that's when Star Wars came out. And I've talked about this before. When Star Wars came out, I dropped superheroes. And I was like, I am only into Star Wars.
Yeah. It's weird how kids do that.
Yeah. Ben does it all the time. I've got a million toys that he played with for a weekend.
Yeah.
You know, and since I'm an action figure addict, I'm like, oh, you like Ninja Turtles? You need all of them!
Right.
And the $100
really
playset!
You need all of them.
Yeah. I need to feed the dragon.
That's a great line.
But he's so into Batman now that we play a guessing game every week with the new 52 villain one-shots.
Oh, yeah. For all of you who don't know, DC is doing 3D comics where the villains take over. And I guess, and I don't know if this is true or not because I can't be bothered to look at the numbers. Apparently, there's only 52.
There are 52. Yeah, it took over all 52.
Okay,
titles.
So I'm not buying four times as many books like I originally thought. You think I'd know that being a retailer, but you know.
No, that's the weird thing about it. Joe and I were just talking about that. What they ended up doing, and I didn't figure this out until I did the math, what they ended up doing was like Batman has four titles.
Yeah.
You know, Detective has four titles. And what they're doing is stealing them from the lower selling books.
Okay, so like. Trying to think what's a lower selling book.
Like
Seven Soldiers of Victory or
yeah.
Some book, yeah, no one's reading. Yeah,
Amethyst or something.
Yeah, because of that Flash is getting too.
Yeah.
But I'm reading all the Batmans. Mm-hmm. And they're good, but I have noticed the Ventriloquist, which I think was a Detective Comics, and was supposed to be Batgirl. And Batgirl's not getting one, but it was written by Gail Simone. And at the end it said, see Ventriloquist in issues of Batgirl.
Okay.
And then this week was Court of Owls, which I thought was going to be Snyder and Capullo.
Yeah.
But it was actually the Talon issue. Because it was all about Talon and the Court of Owls. And that, I don't read Talon, so I got a little confused.
Yeah.
But that was in, like, Batman and Robin.
That's weird.
And it said, read Talon. So I think they originally did one for every book, and then they were like, oh, well, Batman and Robin outsells Talon.
So call it.
So let's just call it Batman and Robin 0.2.
Sucks.
Yeah, plus not everybody has a
you know, well-known villain. Like, who's Amethyst's well-known villain?
I don't even know what Amethyst is.
Yeah, so not everybody has an iconic villain.
They did some DC Nation shorts. That's as much as I know about Amethyst.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with that title? Meanwhile, you got Batman, who's got a bazillion Batman-specific really good villains.
There are 16 villain one-shots.
Yeah.
For Batman,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we went over it with the store, and I was like, okay, get me all the Batman villains.
Yeah.
Because I don't know which ones are going to be good or not. Like, I don't read Dark Knight.
Right.
But Dark Knight had... I'm
Mr. Freeze or something.
Yeah, they had like Mr. Freeze this week. It's like, I want to read a Mr. Freeze one shot.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of guest writers and guest artists. Yeah. So it's like, just because I don't like the creative team on Dark Knight doesn't mean I won't like this Mr. Freeze one
shot. Yeah, and I don't know how much of this is true, and I have no idea if we've mentioned this or not on the podcast before, but I had heard from either somebody at DC or somebody at Diamond, or I don't know, maybe this is just bullshit, but that DC was taking such a bath on these books because they were more expensive to print than they thought, and they already had the prices on the covers, that they're losing like a dime a book for every one they sell, which is like, imagine what that is. If I'm ordering thousands of dollars worth of DC comics every month, and right. Now there's 1,500 stores in the country or whatever the number is, I mean, then you're talking like hundreds of thousands of dollars they're like taking a bath on these books.
Yeah.
Well, then I heard
them another reason to take a book that they don't think is going to sell and make it their biggest selling book. And it's like, oh, steal Talon's book and make it Batman.
Yeah.
Let's take our lowest selling title and just decide it's our highest selling title.
But now that they're all selling out. Everyone's freaking out about these 3D covers, and they're selling out.
They're
some
good.
Of them
and
aren't
the
even hitting
the 3D covers actually work really well. Yeah.
They look really awesome. Good.
Yeah, when I heard about it, I was like, I don't care. It's another gimmick cover.
Yeah, but they look phenomenal.
They're nice, and there was some motion in it, which I didn't realize because I thought they basically just had planes, you know, where they pop the background out. But you turn some of them, something's changed, like the Court of Owls. Some of the faces change in the
regions. Yeah, it's kind of wild. Well, then somebody was telling me that in November, I think, to make up for the loss, they're charging $1 a book extra for just regular comics.
So everything's
so everything that's $2.99 is going to be $3.99. Everything that's $3.99 is going to be $4.99. And I don't know if this is
true or not.
That'll
probably never come down.
Whether or not it's extra content. Like, I don't think you'll get any
more. Like backups?
I don't think so.
No.
Because then they'd have to pay more people and it costs more money. I think this is them trying to make money back. But I don't know if this is true or not. This is a rumor I heard. You know what I'm saying? I haven't seen the solicitations yet. But it's kind of crazy. And like I said, these books are selling out before they hit the shelf to the point where like they're going on eBay for 4 or 5 times the cover price.
And they've already solicited. They're going to sell a bundle of all 52 3D covers.
And a hardcover.
And yeah, they're going to do an omnibus.
And like
put them in a hardcover and just sell it as a bundle of like you can order all 52 in October or November.
And they'll be 3D?
Yeah, of the 3D cover. They're doing a second print run of all the 3D covers and then selling it as a batch of 52.
And they'll have that more expensive.
So you can reorder the whole line, or somebody can special order just all of them right off the bat.
Like they did with the state cover variants.
State covers. You know what? Yeah. Those state covers, we sold, I think we ordered 3 or 4 bundles of them, and you got like, it was 52 covers. So you got all 50 states.
Oh, for Justice League of America?
Yeah. You got all 50 states.
Plus
then you
US
got a U.S.
And
flag.
And Washington, D.C.?
Puerto Rico. What's that?
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, so there was your 52.
I can't believe the one name you stumbled on was Puerto Rico.
Why was
I thinking Guam?
I thought you were going to say, what is that? That's the Creeper?
No.
Like, Justice League Dark? It's like, Puerto Rico? Wait, you don't know that there's a place called Puerto Rico?
I know there's a place called Puerto Rico, but I did not know. I was making sure that was the place that we bought. You know what I mean? We didn't buy like Buenos Aires or something. You know what I'm saying? I knew Puerto Rico exists. I just was making sure that was the territory that we acquired.
The way you said it, you were like, how do you pronounce this?
Puerto I know how to pronounce things.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
is it like Ra's al Ghul? Ra's al Ghul?
That we don't know. But Cal
knows.
We'll
never know that.
Cal's Egyptian.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's consistent because Christopher Nolan decided, I'm going to say it the other way.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It's all part of the mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But none of this is, now we've made this show topical, so we're
going to... Oh, yeah, well, you know.
We're going to have to put this up sooner. But our topic for today is going to be HeroClix, which is probably, next to comics, would you say the biggest seller in the store?
Are graphic novels?
Let's consider graphic novels comics.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like probably comic books, graphic novels, HeroClix, and then probably magic, like cards underneath. Magic used to be ahead of HeroClix, but HeroClix, we've been doing it since pretty much we opened, and then it's just been growing and growing and growing and growing, but the company that puts them out has been, like, they used to just do comic book.
HeroClix.
Now they're doing Lord of the Rings,
Iron
Star
Maiden.
Trek, Iron Maiden, like it's
are they like Eddie Heraclix or
yes,
like...
yes, they're all the album covers, Eddie from the album covers,
they, and awesome. They look awesome.
Is there a Bruce Dickinson Heraclix?
No,
not yet.
Just Eddie.
He should have a screen dial.
But it's
scream for me, Puerto Rico.
But there's so many different licenses they're using. There's just like a new set. Like every month, right? So it's like every month we're getting like a new set of Heraclix. And usually it used to just be like a Superman set and then an Iron Man set and then, you know, a Justice League set and then, you know, an X-Men set. Like they would just flip-flop between DC and Marvel. Now it's like Pacific Rim is getting Heraclix. Lone Ranger is getting Heraclix. Like it's like anything and everything is like getting Heraclix. Even the Batman 66 is getting an entire Heraclix set of just Adam West, Batman. Fucking.
And they just did a big Batman set, like, not even 6 months
ago. Yeah, when was that last Batman set?
They did two. They did the regular Batman set, and then they did a smaller, like, half set called Streets of Gotham, where it was basically Gotham PD Central guys and...
Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey and Batman Gotham villains.
Yeah, and then before that, they did a Dark Knight Rises Batman set. So they'll do them for the movies, too. So you'll have, like, Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man, and then you'll have, like, comic book Iron Man. You know, so it's... They never miss an opportunity to, like, market this stuff. And that's... It's just... I mean, the game's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, they're introducing all these, like, crazy new mechanics to it, to where it's, like... It used to just be, like, little figures, and now it's the little figures, but then vehicles, and now there's a Batmobile, and then now it's little figures and a vehicle, and then now it's little figures, a vehicle, and the Batcave, and you can have, like, the Batcave has, like, powers and stuff. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Yes, yeah, so I'll preface this right off by saying I do not collect Heraclix, and the reason I don't collect Heraclix is I collect too much other stuff.
Yes.
So, between the graphic novels, the comics, and... action figures. I found one of the problems we've had doing action figure podcasts is that we don't have anybody in the store that collects as many action figures as I do.
Yeah,
maybe used to, but you, I think Heraclix has eaten that. How many Heraclix do you own?
I own, let's say, there have been maybe 30,000 Heraclix made. I'm missing 15 of those 30,000.
How bad do you want those 15?
Pretty bad, but they're all $100 to $200 each, if not more. So they're a gradual get here and there as they go down in price, or I find a deal, or like, oh, that's my birthday present, or oh, that one's a Christmas present.
Yeah.
So they're all like exclusives or variants? Or?
Usually chases from older sets that were, you know, a chase is extremely hard to get, where it's like one in every 200 packs will have a chase. And that's... And then usually those will sell for 100 to more in there.
Depending on when they come out.
Yeah.
Because like, they just came out with Wolverine and the X-Men set. And the sets typically mirror what's going on semi-recently in comics. So when this set came out, the chases, there's usually five chases. And the five chases in the Wolverine set were the Phoenix Five from X-Men versus Avengers. And it's, you know, Cyclops in the Phoenix uniform, and he's got all these, like, crazy powers and stuff. So it's semi-topical, but then these chases are also the most expensive when they come out, because everyone wants them when they come out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what was the chases from Superman?
Superman was...
Which was, like, 2 years ago.
Earth 1 Superman.
From that original graphic novel Straczynski did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Son of Darkseid Superman.
From some weird Elseworlds. Camelot Superman.
Camelot Superman.
Superman Beyond, right?
No, that was a prize, not a chase.
No. Yeah, so then there's like prizes on top of all this crap too. So it's like, oh, here's your set of how many figures? 100 figures maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And then here's three exclusive prize figures that you have to play in a tournament to win. Just, and that's the only way you get them. You know, so it's like, It's ridiculous. Like it's the game. Like I said, this company went out of business too. Like 10 years ago.
All right, I'll tell the little story.
Tell the tale. All
right, Heraclix started in, I want to say late '90s, maybe early 2000s. I want to say late '90s.
Yeah, the first time I ever saw them was like 2003, but I knew they'd been around for a little while.
Yeah.
There was a gaming company called WizKids starts the game, and it starts out just small Marvel and DC. And, you know, it's just Marvel guys, DC guys. And it gets bigger and bigger. They make more and more sets. Usually they would have, at first, a new set would come out every 2 months, 3 months, maybe even longer. And by the time it got to, it was getting more and more popular. It got a little more complicated. And then after the set, there was a Web of Spider-Man set was the first. No. There was Secret Invasion, which was the first set that tied in directly to what was happening in the comics.
And now that set came out during the storyline, right?
Came out at the exact same time. The first issue of Secret Invasion was the day the HeroClix set released.
Yeah, HeroClix seemed to come out a lot faster than usually action figures, which are usually like a year behind.
Yeah, yes. I'd say so.
Seems like they
so.
Can get HeroClix out much quicker.
But I
quicker.
Think this set in particular, the Secret Invasion, this was the only set that came out and synced up with a storyline to the point where they were doing like Skrull versions of characters in the set, and it wasn't... It was
before it was revealed in the comics that these characters were Skrull.
So wow. You'd get like a Skrull Captain Marvel, and then it'd be like, oh, the new Captain Marvel's a Skrull. You know?
Skrull Invisible Woman, a Skrull Spider Woman, revealing that it was titled Skrull Empress before that was revealed in issue 3 or 4.
Usually Marvel keeps a title lid on that, too.
They were chases.
Oh.
So they were really hard to find. But then you'd, and we've got guys at the store who do this, and, you know, where Stu does this, too. It's, you know, this new set comes out, and it's, all right, I want 4 cases or whatever, and it's like, that's like... How many guys is that?
It's a lot of guys.
Or you get like 60 packs.
It's like 500 guys.
Or you get the kids that come in and they start shaking the boxes to try to this find the heavier figures.
Yeah, because HeroClix are blind box.
They're blind box, which I hate.
Yeah, that drives me crazy. It's
I can't do Japanese
toys.
Yeah.
That's another thing that keeps me from it. I find HeroClix fascinating, but I feel like I've already collected... I collect 12-inch Hot Toys... When I have the money, it's really nice. I collect most 6-inch stuff. I collect a lot of 3 3/4 stuff. I collect mini mates. So I have a character in 4 different scales in plastic.
Yeah.
And now here comes HeroClix. It's like, well, here's 1-inch. I'm like, I got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. I've got 1,000 figures in HeroClix that you don't own, though, because they've only made them as HeroClix.
I know, because they come out so often. Yeah. And that's what makes me buy different scales. I'm like, oh, here's a 3 3/4 figure that they didn't make in 6. Okay, then I have to get the whole line of this, too.
And there's still dozens of characters. And they've made tons of guys, like Paste Pot Pete has a HeroClix. You know what I mean? But it's like...
There's 3.
Yeah. But there's like tons of guys that they've just never... They've never made.
He's
like,
got a rookie experienced veteran. The experienced and veteran are called Trapster. The rookie is called Paste Pot Pete.
Cool. Yeah. So it's like they do stuff like that, or like they'll do one of the first, then they do like they've done Bullseye before. So they'll do like 3 different Bullseyes, and then the hardest one to find that's usually the best, they'll name him
Lester.
Lester, like whatever his real name is, you know, and they were doing that for a while. And then they did one with Bullseye where he's dressed up in Hawkeye's uniform and he's got like, you know, they give keywords to everybody to like what teams they can go on. And it'll be like he'll have Thunderbolts or Dark Avengers. And like they're that thorough with how they look, what they do, you know, to the point where even the powers they give the characters will be like story specific. And it'll be like, you know, they'll do like a Spider-Woman and it'll be like Agent of Sword, Skrull Killer, Skrull Hunter. And then she'll have like powers that like show that.
So each character can have almost a dozen different incarnations.
Oh, yeah.
Also depending on their point values and things like that. Because you can have Thor who's like ultra mighty or Thor who's kind of a wuss.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends.
Different point values. And that's how the game works is everyone costs a certain amount of points. So like, you know, most Thors are going to be 150 points or higher because he's supposed to be like...
Really strong.
Really strong. But then, you know, they'll make Iron Mans that are from ranges from like 75 points all the way up to like...
250 points is the most expensive.
Yeah. Depending on what armor he's wearing.
Right. Yes. And then that's how you build your team. So you do like 400 point games. You can get as many guys as you want for 400 points on your team. And that's how many guys you get. You know, so if you're going to use a 250 point Iron Man, he's more than half your team. You know, you only have X amount of points left over.
So you have a limit.
Yes.
In building teams. Well, because this is the other reason I don't get HeroClix is I never quite understood the game between the dial numbers and the dice and the boards. So, Stu, could you very easily, how would you explain HeroClix to somebody who's listening to this who's never played it, or me, who's never played it, or Joe, who has a lot of them and has never played it?
Yeah. There's a reason for that that I'll get into later.
It's simplest way, the way we describe it in the store is it's chess with superpowers. It's, you know, you've got a four numbers on the dial. Movement, that's how many squares you can move on the map. Attack, defense, and damage. And then you have a range number. Your range is how many squares you can shoot. And if you were to make an attack, say punch or shoot someone, it would be your attack versus your opponent's defense, say in a 10 versus a 17, you would roll two dice. If you roll a 7 or higher, you deal your printed damage, which would then click three times. It's so much, if you watch two people play a game, you're like, oh, I get this. And you literally could just pick up the game and learn how and play it. It's just that it's such a, I don't know what
it's
the word
is. Dense. I'm there's a it's, lot of.
Yeah, it's and that's really easy to learn how to play, but insane to master.
Yeah, and that's the problem that I had was I picked up something because I figured, well, you know, I've played D&D, I've played Magic, I've played Stratego. I can play this game. You know, it's just got some figures, you move them around.
Yeah.
And the more I got into the rule book, and the more I took a look at all the abilities that people have, indomitable, you know, super strength, you know, probability control, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It just gets really complex in a hurry. So you can try to play a dumbed down version of it to start with, but it is, to me, it was really daunting, especially because if you're going up against somebody who knows a lot of the characters, or if you're not familiar with that character from the books and you don't know who they are and what their specialty is and what they're really supposed to do, you're just going to get your butt kicked.
Well, I mean, usually, yeah. I mean, a new player is going to lose to an experienced player at any game you play. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to teach you how to play poker, all right? Like,
yeah.
But, you know, what's nice, like, I compare this to, let's say, trying to learn Warhammer. Warhammer, you got to buy, like, either a, you know, $400 starter set or a, you know, $40 set of one guys, $50 rule book, $50 in paints, $100 to make your gaming table.
Yeah.
HeroClix, it's a $17.99 starter set that's designed to be enough for two people to play right out of the box with simplified powers in the starter set to make it easily accessible.
Yeah, I mean, from my point of view, I tried, a friend of mine in high school is really into Warhammer, and he got me into it, and I spent more money than I should have on getting all these guys and stuff, and you've got to glue them, you've got to paint them, you got to buy the book that has all the rules and all the powers, and it's like, it's not like a little book, it's a big book. And then, like you said, it doesn't come with like a map for Warhammer. You have to like buy scenery and terrain. Have a big table. And stuff, it's awesome looking and it's really fun to play. I've played like twice. It was a lot of fun. But then I was at 10th Planet at the time and I saw the guys playing HeroClix. I'm like, well, what is this? And like, well, it's like a tabletop game. I'm like, well, and then you find out the figures all have the information on the dial.
And they're all painted.
And they're painted way better than I could ever paint.
And you get a map.
They're glued together.
Well, that's
There's the interesting thing.
You and I were talking about Warhammer, and you are so annoyed by the model-making part of it, which is what people are drawn to.
Yeah.
It's like model makers who are gamers want to do this, and the model-making part of it makes you so angry.
Yeah.
Then you're like, why didn't they paint this thing? I'm like, they want you to paint it. Why should I have to paint it?
Well, it's
just... There are people who have like Napoleonic armies that they just love to get these lead figures and just they're tiny and they get magnifying glasses. They just love to paint these things and they will never play with them.
And that's what I see. We've got, you know, we do Warhammer at the shop on Saturdays. We got a guy that comes every week. His name's Tom. He's an awesome guy. But I've seen him and his buddy play one time. Every other week, Tom's just sitting there playing. And I think from my point of view, I like building things. I like painting things like on the art school. But I want to play the game. It's the same thing when, like, people sit around, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Let's build the, you know, get teams together and go play baseball. It's like, let's just fucking go play baseball. Like if we're going to do it, let's do it. I'm a very impatient person. But, like, that's why I liked HeroClix so much. Yeah, right? Because I just wanted a game I could jump in right away. And to what Joe was saying is I tried reading, the powers and abilities card, and it tells all the different things people can do. And there's a power called Pulse Wave, which is, like, the best power in the game. It's an attack power. And I remember reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it and never being able to figure out how to do it. But then somebody explains it and they're like, this is what you do. And it's so much simpler than the way they fucking explain it. Mm. But they've got to explain it that way so when the rules come up and somebody's got to make a judgment call, it's very clear what and doesn't work. And I mean, we've had things where when we were like talking about like perplexing up range or perplexing down your range, and it's like to turn on a pulse wave, and like to the point where we got to the point so strategically, we're just like, I don't know what to do. And then we figure it out through the rule book, and it's like, oh, okay, this is how it would be worded. You know, it's very specific.
I'm surprised they don't have schools to teach this.
Or we do. Saturdays and Sundays, 12 to 3 at Chimera's Comics.
Yeah, we've got two different guys. Dave and Tim will do
it. That's actually right now.
Yes.
Actually, yeah, right now, Dave or Tim is at the store right now teaching some kid how to play HeroClix, or just playing with the kids that show up. And then tomorrow, well, this guy Brandon comes in, same thing, teaches anyone how to play. And it's really, like I said, I'm not a good rule person. I'm not really good with like organized games and stuff. And I picked up this game like no problem. Now, learning how to play and then figuring out how to use strategy or put teams together is two very different things. I could probably teach you how to play the game, but I cannot teach you strategy.
Have to learn yourself as you play the game. But I mean, we had our last 2 weeks. On Wednesdays, we have more competitive tournaments from 7 to 9. And the last 2 weeks, I think a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old won.
Yeah.
Beat the adults.
And that's what I really like. And there's such a wide range. And we were getting more and more kids and more and more kids and more and more kids. And I'm like, man, these adults we got in here, they're just going to walk over these kids. It's not going to work. And the fucking kids are winning. Like, we've got kids that are like 10 years old that are beating a guy who's in his, you know, late 20s. And it's like the guy in his late 20s is probably the best player in the store, and he just lost to a 9-year-old. And it's not like the 9-year-old's using some crazy cheesy team where it's like he's unbeatable. He's using a team that like anyone could beat. Yeah. And it comes down to dice rolls. At the end of the day, you can do the dumbest things in this game, and if you just roll like dynamite, you win.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
We're kind of the exception to that front, where a lot of this is played all around the country. But we're more the exception, where there's a lot of places, or at least what you hear about online.
We hear a lot of terrible things.
It's a lot more competitive in other places, where because of the rarity of the prizes, which go for hundreds of dollars online, people will do anything to win
them. If we're having a prize night, right now we're in a Fear Itself, so it's off that Marvel storyline. And the prizes are pretty cool. They're
Thor with Odin's armor on and the Ragnarok sword. And then the next prize is Odin when he's ready to storm Midgard and just destroy everybody.
And so as a HeroClix retailer, they're sending you one.
Well, we get the tournament.
Well, it depends. They said you get like a prize support like kit, and it's, you know, they got a bunch of different maps, and the maps are usually like out of the story. So there was a story of Fear Itself. They go to Bronx in Oklahoma, and there's like Asgard's there. So they'll build the map.
You hear that often in stories. They go to Bronx in Oklahoma.
Right, yeah, whoever goes there. I don't even know what that is on a map, right?
In one story.
Yeah, and that one story. So like even the maps are very like story specific, and then the figures will be story specific. So in the Fear Itself story, a bunch of Avengers get armor and weapons that Tony Stark builds out of Asgardian Uru metal. And then they make HeroClix, and it'll be like Ms. Marvel with like this big Asgardian axe that she had only in this one story. But then they'll do these prizes, and they'll send us in this like this prize kit we were talking about, and it's, you know, it'll have maybe like Thor's the big prize, so we'll get like three Thors. So we can do three different, and they tell you kind of how to give out the prizes, and sometimes you follow it, sometimes you don't. The only thing we really have to stick with is they did this Fear Itself is like special boosters you can only sell during the tournament. So we've got the stuff, but I can't just put this on the shelf like we did the Wolverine X-Men. You can only sell it for the tournament. And that makes these figures more rare than any of the others, and then makes the prizes even more. So usually when we have like a booster draft, we have like a new set comes out like Wolverine, I get the same guys I get every week that come in and just play. And then they come in, they do their booster draft, and they win the prize. The Fear Itself is so rare, we're getting guys I've never seen before and probably won't see again until the next Fear Itself thing. So it's like all these like just guys, they just find out where these stores are playing. Like he said, they show up, they're cutthroat. They just like, they'll use every rule they can. If you're not super specific about what you're doing.
They're HeroClix sharks.
Yeah, yes, they're sharks.
That's what we call them, sharks.
They're sharks. And they just come in and they just want the prizes, you know, and that's fine because they're paying just like everyone else. But it's just like, we'll never see these guys again. They'll never come back until
they're on to the next
prize. They're on to the next prize or the next store. They go all over the city. I mean, there's a place up north, the Dice Dojo. A lot of guys go up there. Dark Towers on Lawrence. Like, there's plenty of places these guys are going. just to get these prizes because they're so rare, you know? And that's part of Stu's issue is these missing 18 figures. Some of these are prizes from sets that were super underproduced, and then some of these are prizes or just figures that were just super, super rare from sets that, you know, sold out years ago or something,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because it's almost like when they make these sets, now the way they're going with it is they're going to make a set, they're going to print it for 4 months, 6 months, and then it's done. And then next set, you know, or like they're only printing like three sets at a time. And once they're about to do a new one, the oldest set, they stop printing, and that's it. They only do limited runs of these figures where it's a constant collectible stuff always coming out in the next. Up until Christmas, there's Yu-Gi-Oh! HeroClix coming out. There is Thor 2, the Dark World HeroClix coming out. There is Nightmare Before Christmas HeroClix coming out. There is an Iron Man comic book set coming out,
which will be based off of Fraction's Iron Man. It's called Invincible Iron Man. So all those villains that he retooled.
Those redesigned villains.
They'll all be in it. They'll have all the newest Iron Man armor will be in it.
All the classic armors.
Yep, they'll do classic armors. Mm. We'll get Pepper Potts as Rescue is going to be in this set.
Detroit Steel.
Yeah, so it's, you know, they do try to line up. And then
after that is Superman in the Legion of Superheroes, which is Superman themed, Legion themed, and then the sub theme is Legion of Doom.
Which is awesome. Wow. So they'll do like the main set, like Wolverine and the X-Men just is the newest set. So it's called Wolverine and the X-Men, and you'd think, oh, I'm going to get a lot of guys from that new comic, Wolverine and the X-Men. But it's actually just named that because Wolverine the movie came out, and Wolverine's the most popular. You call it Wolverine the X-Men, and it's I mean, 90% of the set.
90. It should be called Jim Lee and the X-Men.
It's Jim Lee's.
It's 90s X-Men.
Yeah. To the point where it's like Cyclops is in that terrible thing.
I like that wise
the
thing.
Bandolier and Rogue's in the green thing with the jacket.
All right, that's not as good.
And Jean's in that like skin colored leotard or whatever.
Yep.
It's all those terrible costumes.
Bishop with the
mullet.
But
then they'll do
something. They're iconic.
They are iconic, I'll give you
because
that.
Because of the Fox. Well, TV first of all, show. When Jim Lee was drawing it, the print runs were incredibly high.
Yeah.
But that mostly that Fox TV
it's
show.
It's the show. And yeah. I'd say that show did more for X-Men than any other media version of X-Men because you run into the most people and that's what they know about X-Men. They know about
including
that
the movies.
Oh, absolutely. To the point where, you know, the movies are taking cues from that show.
Yeah.
It's easier for people to just look at that show and be like, this is the X-Men than look at like Claremont's run. And in the comics, Claremont's king on X-Men for sure. But that show has done more in the media. Like I said, this entire set was based off of that.
There was a time, ratings-wise, where X-Men beat Batman the Animated Series.
I believe it.
They were both on Fox.
Yeah.
But it was like, X-Men was like number one.
Yeah.
It was like X-Men, Power Rangers,
right.
Batman.
And from a budget point of view, or not a budget point of view, aesthetic point of view, look at which one visually looks better. And you watch that X-Men show, it's inconsistent animation, some of the characters' designs are pretty terrible, the voice acting's good.
The voice acting is not good.
Yeah, it is.
Storm, no. Just go back and watch one episode.
Gene! Yeah. The power of the Hurricane!
I'll give you Storm is terrible, but Gambit, I thought Gambit was great. Wolverine had a good voice.
Gambit talks with marbles in his mouth. There's one time when the guy, like, you could hear the marbles fall out of his mouth as he's talking.
Gambit, go to the It was very stilted.
Maybe I'm remembering it.
Wolverine was
kind of
the only one I liked. It. He had that really gravelly, I go where I want to go.
Beast was good.
Beast was okay. But
it wasn't
the greatest. Spider-Man had a better voice cast than
But that's what I'm saying is you look at
Ed Asner as J. Jonah Jameson.
For some reason that show did, and I don't know what it is, why it's so popular, but it was
huge. It was like Super Friends huge. It was crazy.
Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah.
That opening theme song, man.
No, that's
it's
terrible. I like that.
It's amazing because I think I told the story before. Was it came out the same year as Batman.
Yeah.
But Batman premiered in September and X-Men premiered on Halloween. So you had like 6 weeks. And Batman was a daily show. And X-Men was Saturdays. So you had seen 30 episodes of Batman the Animated Series when X-Men premiered.
Yeah.
And I remember I was so geared up for X-Men from, you know, being fed this Bruce Timm stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm in college at this point. And X-Men came on and I'm like, What?
I remember, well, because I was younger at the time when X-Men came out. Like, I remember it was cross-promoted with Pizza Hut like crazy.
Yes, they had these Joe Madureira drawings. Yeah, it was like before that. He did X-Men.
Yeah.
When he did like a Deadpool limited series. Yeah. They had him doing that stuff.
I mean, it was like that X-Men show was an event as when you were a kid. Like, that was...
It was the two-parter Night of the Sentinels.
Yeah.
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 And Jubilee was the voice of Winona Ryder on the Beetlejuice cartoon.
Oh, yeah?
You remember the Beetlejuice cartoon?
I do. Yeah. I had a Beetlejuice cool? cartoon video game for the computer that was awesome.
8-bits?
Yeah.
They've never released on DVD, but on the Beetlejuice Blu-ray of the movie, there's 3 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember loving it. And it's one of those show. Where I went back and I'm like, oh, this isn't as consistent as I thought. But there was this great wave. We are way off topic, but there was this great wave in the early 90s. It was basically the post-Simpsons wave, where after the Simpsons, the guys who really cared about cartoons, they were like, we can go so far.
Yeah.
And, you know, Warner Brothers had that giant renaissance between Batman and Tiny Toons and Animaniacs and Tasmania. But cartoons got really smart for, like, the early 90s, which is why, like, when I saw X-Men, I was like, meh.
But it was very, for its time, it was very closely accurate, like comic accurate to what was happening. Either like, or
it looked,
you know,
like
to the storyline.
Yeah,
yeah, it did.
You know.
I'd say, yeah, you'd
and
be
they did the Dark Phoenix saga.
Yeah.
And it was weird because they had the Jim Lee team, so they just like gave Colossus's lines to Rogue, but it was like so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because I mean, it was all stuff that like, at the time, I would have never been familiar with that stuff if not for that cartoon.
Yeah, that's
where
true.
Where Batman was probably a better cartoon and had better storylines. But this was giving me 20 years of X-Men continuity
into a
Saturday morning cartoon format without even me realizing it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's
interesting. And they were sneaky about the Marvel continuity because they would show a flashback and it'd be the original five in the yellow and black uniform.
Yeah.
You'd see Spider-Man on a building when they would show like they would show the Fantastic Four in the background every now and then.
Yeah.
Like,
they did try to have, you know, it was what they're doing in Avengers now. You know, 10 years ago, where it's like they did have like guest episodes where like the X-Men and Spider-Man would like go off and like do the Secret Wars, and it's like they're the same, you know, it was like the cartoons line up, and then Fantastic Four was there too. It was like, it was like the earliest like cross promotion you could get between like these two kind of like properties.
There was a point where the entire Marvel Universe was on Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
Between which is, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, Iron Man, Silver Surfer, X-Men.
Yeah, they even had that Hulk cartoon
from
the 90s.
There was a Hulk cartoon. There was an Avengers cartoon, which was horrible.
That was horrendous. Yeah.
It was like Avengers and Silver Surfer kind of killed off the Marvel.
Yeah.
Surfer wasn't as bad as Avengers. Avengers was worse than Surfer.
Avengers was the worst out of the bunch because it was like, let's take out everyone cool, can give everyone armor, and then not fight any of the cool villains, like except Ultron. It was like, wait.
It was like, yeah, because there wasn't even a Iron Man, was there?
No. Iron Man, Cap, and Thor weren't in it. It was like, and I like the Avengers.
It was like Vision and Hawkeye.
Vision, Hawkeye, Wonder Man.
Tigra.
So it was the West Coast Avengers.
Yeah. But it's like, why would you try to do an Avengers cartoon and not have the big three in it? They'd be like, oh, let's do Justice League, but not use Batman, Superman, or Wonder Woman. It's like, you were crippling yourself before you even getting started. It's like, why did you do this?
Yeah, and then not even put them in the iconic, recognizable costumes.
Yeah, and then like, change all their
costumes.
So you
costumes.
Don't even recognize
so
any
So also
of
when
them.
The figure line came out, you didn't want to buy any of the figures because none of them were comic accurate.
I got the Hawkeye because I wanted a Hawkeye action figure, and I remember
and
being
nothing like him.
Totally
I got
pissed
the
off because
the one
terrible.
In the Iron Man line was better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. From the Iron Man show. Because wasn't it like him and Spider-Woman?
Yeah.
Yep, the Julie Carpenter Spider-Woman.
Yeah. Weird. So.
But taking this off topic, but Heraclix is pretty much, so they're covering every era then.
They're covering
every era. They're not just sticking with modern.
I mean, there's enough stuff coming out right now where years ago to pick up off like where my Secret Invasion story left off, like then they were making sets more for completists. And, or for people to try and get more into the game. Secret Invasion at the time was their best selling set. They followed that up with Arkham Asylum, a Batman set more focused on the villains, and they thought like, wow, we completely sold out a Secret Invasion, let's do even more with Batman, you know, with this Arkham Asylum, and it tanked.
That's unbelievable to me.
Well, it was just
a
because
set of Batman villains did not do well.
Well, it did well, but it was so overproduced.
Or it wasn't over. It was
like
just
finding 90s Batman comics now.
They put it out right on the heels of Secret Invasion, where not a lot of people ordered it. The retailers didn't order it. Because
they had so much Secret Invasion.
Because they had so much Secret Invasion still on the shelf.
Yeah, you can still go into, like, we were there maybe a year ago. We went to an AF, and he had Secret Invasion boosters. And I'm like, this would have, if I put this on the shelf, it would be gone in an hour. And they have it just because it's like the community. But it's like, that's how heavy some of these stores ordered. We weren't open. I was still at 10th Planet when Secret Invasion came out. And it sold really well, but they had that stuff on the shelf for months.
Yeah,
you know.
So everyone overordered, you know, reordered, got so much Secret Invasion left that they didn't order a lot of Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, that always happens with figure lines too. It's always those last couple of waves have the rarest figures in them because they're simply not ordered.
Yeah.
So halfway through making Arkham Asylum, WizKids runs out of money and goes bankrupt. No more HeroClix.
Yeah. And how long did that last before?
That lasted 2 to 3, 3.5 years about.
And in this window of time frame, you've got guys like Stu who refuse to sell what he's got. Because at this point, you have thousands of HeroClix.
I had thousands of figures.
You have 30,000 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I he's holding on to all these figures. But then you have the flip side is tons of guys just like him who just dump them. Yeah. And they're just getting, because they're like, all the game. And how often does that happen? A game goes out of business or they stop and then that's it. The games don't come back.
Right.
And then it was like he said, 2 or 3 years later, HeroClix come back. He's the smart one because he held on to a fucking $40,000 collection and all these other guys dumped their stuff. Yeah, so he was able to pick up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
now the stuff from before the fall is like worth twice as much. I never got even entertained getting rid of them because I was living with my roommate Matt at the time, and we played, you know, like 2 or 3 games a day where we would just, you know, we'd have our coffee table would just be a HeroClix mat.
Yeah,
where
it's like the company went out of business, but these, you know, a lot of guys just never stopped playing.
Right.
Yeah.
So which ones are your favorites for any reason? Which figures?
Probably the customs. Probably the guys I custom. Which brings us to an interesting segue of...
Yeah, Stu has made custom HeroClix, which not only are custom figures on the dial, but they have their own custom rules.
Well, no, I don't change the rules or powers. I take pre-existing figures and then just change the sculpts on them so that they're still game legal. I'm not making my own figures. I'm not, you know, I'm just changing the way they look, which is in big tournaments is illegal because you're, you know, if I make like my Shaggy and Scooby, for instance, it's a Squirrel Girl, but Steven wouldn't, you know, if I'm playing against Steven, he wouldn't recognize it as Squirrel Girl and might make a tactical error not knowing what the figure is.
Yeah.
Okay. You know,
and
we've
seen this a lot at the shop where, you know, they'll come out with like a new Thor. And like, oh, well, this Thor sculpt sucks, but the one from 10 years ago that I've got one that I'll never play is great. Stu, here's 2 Thors and switch them. He does this all the time. I'm just like, all right, I don't like this new Cyclops, I like the old one. He switches them for me. And then I'll play him.
So he has the new rules, but he's the old figure.
Right. So it's just the sculpt on the new dial. And I've run up guys who ignore like a Thor because like, oh, that's an old Thor. And then the Thor whaps him so and kills him. Weapon. He's like a secret weapon. So people will get pissed off. They'll be like, why didn't you tell me that was the new Thor and not the old Thor? And it's like, well, fucking, why would I use that old Thor?
You know, well, that's, well, you know, the rule before it playing any mods is you're supposed to let your opponent know and you're supposed to legally have a unmodded version there in case he refuses and doesn't want to play the mods.
Yeah.
But at Chimeras, we play more for fun.
Yeah, it's a lot more friendly game than competitive, except for like the tournament days.
Yes, the tournament days for the big prizes, we keep 100% straight legal competitive because we don't want anybody to have any rules issues to complain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's usually sealed for the most competitive tournaments where it's that way it doesn't give a shark an advantage coming in with his big collection and beating up on all these kids. It's you get 2 packs. And you make your team out of those 2 packs.
Totally
you don't
random
know what your
so you
team
come,
is.
You come in and buy 2 packs at the shop.
Yeah.
Open them.
This
and
is how the tournaments
you
work.
You play what you get. Team.
Yeah. Okay. Out
so
of
so you don't get some Munchkin Power Gamer coming along with
exactly
like a super stacked set.
Exactly.
And that's what the thing is. If it was to the point where it wasn't, that's how you level the playing field, right? It's 300 points. You buy 2 boosters. You make a team out of that. If it wasn't that way, Stu's got a closet full of guys. We'll never win. If Stu doesn't ever want to lose a game of HeroClix, he won't because he can just build some team that no one else has because he's got all these figures and he'll win every single time.
The staircase to the basement in Chimera's Comics is basically held up by your HeroClix.
Yeah.
I think if you took all the HeroClix out of there, the building would collapse.
It might. Yeah. It just might.
There have been many times moving furniture up that staircase going, don't hit the Eternals.
Right. Watch out for the Horcrux.
Yeah, we'll take some pictures and post that on the store's Facebook page or...
To show some of them,
To show the I call it the vault in the way to the basement, literally filled with, I can't even tell you how many tackle boxes, all labeled, all organized.
Yeah, just so you don't know where to find this
just
stuff.
So I know where to find these, because it's, I mean, there have been so many brands, and they're Halo, Street Fighter, Lord of the Rings,
My Little Pony.
Not yet. Hello Kitty is coming out.
Star Trek.
Oh my God.
Gears of War.
BioShock. Halo.
They have a Borderlands set yet?
They haven't done Borderlands
Game
yet.
Game of Thrones?
They haven't done Game of Thrones yet.
So that'd be interesting.
Yeah. But that's what we all, the last 2 years, you know, up until 2 years ago, there were no branching off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, when after Secret Invasion and after Arkham Asylum, when they went bankrupt, they come back, say, we'll say 2.5 years later, maybe 3 years. And they do Hammer of Thor, which is the set that they was planned when they went bankrupt. And then from there, everybody loses their mind when Hammer of Thor comes back. It sells out instantly, was very small produced because it was NECA had bought the company WizKids.
Right.
Then they do a set after that, and that's really popular and sells out instantly. And then from Hammer of Thor till today, each set has done almost twice as well, and they've produced twice as much, where now that was 5 years ago since they came back. They've been back for about 5 years, and it is bigger than it has ever been. So much product coming out, so more people playing it, where HeroClix is on the verge of becoming a household name. It is beaten out Pokemon, as it is now the number two collectible thing in, I don't know if it's on the planet, but at least in the United States. It goes magic, then HeroClix, then Pokemon.
In games, yeah.
Wow.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week.
I'd say my greatest thing in the world, kind of related to HeroClix, is I reread Rick Remender's Uncanny Avengers. And from 1 to, I think, 11 is the newest issue. And when it was coming out monthly, I wasn't really big on it. I'm a big Avengers fan, but I wasn't too hot on this book. I reread it, and I'm borderline obsessed with this book now, to the point where I'm going to reread it again, and I'm going to read it again and wait for that next issue to come out. I'll do the same offer. We've done this before, and I think I've mentioned this book in particular, but mention the podcast and request this book, and I'll give it to you for free. Uncanny Avengers number 1. It's awesome. I love it. And that relates to HeroClix, because that's one of my favorite things about HeroClix, is I can read and do the Uncanny Avengers, and you can make an Uncanny Avengers team in HeroClix, specifics, down to the actual characters who are in it. And I think that's one of my big things about HeroClix that I really like, is I can go and grab any issue of Avengers from, you know, the 60s all the way up until now, and I can make a HeroClix team based on the roster in that book. And I think that's one of the coolest things about HeroClix.
That's all you ever do with HeroClix, is just build Avengers.
I just literally for the last 3 years, I've played nothing but just Avengers teams.
I haven't even seen you play a Fantastic Four ever.
Nope. And that was my first set, was Fantastic Four. It was a four pack of them for 400 points. And it's a great team, but it's they're not Avengers.
That's probably what I would play.
We are doing, not to butt in on your greatest thing.
This is good.
We're doing an Avengers project. Where it is
HeroClix,
where everyone, I think we've only got the first 25 issues written down.
Yeah.
But it's the roster of Avengers and then the villain they fight.
And then where they fought on the map. So it's the first one, it was the original Avengers versus Loki. And then we threw in a couple trolls, because Thor fights a couple trolls in that issue. But then when Rick Jones shows up, I'll have the Rick Jones HeroClix team up with the Avengers.
So you're going to reenact the entire
book. We'll reenact the entire Avengers. We'll probably stop at we'll go as far as the Omnibus. So the Omnibus is the first 25 issues. Yeah. When the Volume 2 comes out, we'll continue. And, it's a lot of fun. It's really cool.
Will you do all the dialogue scenes with the HeroClix?
We won't do that.
Read out of the book.
Maybe we should do that.
Just kind of shake them. You know the way kids shake an action figure to show that they're talking?
Right. Yeah. It'd be like that.
HeroClix is a way, when you're sitting around, you take out all the action figures and you're playing with your action figures. This is doing the same thing, but now there's a format of how to play with them.
It's an instruction manual on how to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what I rebel against.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Because John doesn't want to do it.
Just give
me
the guys and I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, because I was going to say this when you were talking about the rule book, how you're saying the rules are daunting. That's how my dad kept me from playing any game. My dad's a big board gamer. He's like a big complete strategist type gamer.
Yeah.
And he's very professorial, and he's also a bit of a pothead. So he would say, we're going to play this game. And he'd sit in the dining room, which was also the same room where you had to do your homework or get yelled at.
Oh, so that's a great room.
In the middle of the day.
Right.
In the summer. And he'd sit you down there, and he'd say, well, here's the game. And he'd take out the game, and as you're looking at the pieces, he goes, here's how to play. And he would take the rule book out and start reading from page one.
Oh, that's the one way to get me not to play a fucking game. Yeah.
So by the time, and this is what you do, by the time you get to page 12, I'd be like, all right, so this is how I move my piece, right? And you go, all right. I said, let's just play. And then he would start playing, and then he would screw you with all the rules that are on page 30.
Right.
Yep.
So then he'd just take your pieces away, and you'd be like, what are you doing? He goes, oh, well, it says in the rules you could do that. He's like, and I'm like, you didn't tell me that. You didn't let me. And then I'm like, you're a jerk, Dad. Then I went upstairs.
This is why we don't play games.
Then I went upstairs and played with Action Figures, and I was like, Dad can't tell me how to play with Batman. That man's jumping out this window. But, Joe, what's your greatest thing this week?
My greatest thing this week is the Uncanny X-Men Omnibus that just came out.
Finally back in print.
Finally back in print.
Yeah, it came out about 6-7 years ago, and it was going for about $300 on eBay.
Right, and now they've got the new version, and, you know, I didn't want to pay $300 for it, but this one is amazing. I've been waiting for this, because that was when I first started reading comics.
So nice.
Right.
What was your first X-Men issue? What number?
First X-Men issue number somewhere in the 90s.
So before Byrne. So like the Cochrane.
Oh yeah, from the Cochrane run. This was like 77, 78 when I had moved to LaGrange.
Yeah.
And I took out my old copies of, cuz I still have them.
Yeah.
Of X-Men, and I'm comparing them to the Omnibus, kind of like when you do when you first get the Omnibus compared to a Masterworks, just
right?
To see how much better the Omnibus,
the quality,
is.
The paper quality and the
colors just jump out at you, and you can see all the little details. And it's fantastic, especially when you get to the Byrne run, because he really rewards that, you know, oversized
format. Yeah.
It's like that artist edition of his Fantastic Four. That was the thing that got me to crack on those artist editions, because they're incredibly expensive, and they're so big I don't have a shelf that'll hold it. I mean, my John Byrne Fantastic Four is sitting on top of a bookcase.
Yeah.
Because it's so big.
I had to readjust the bookshelf in my bedroom to fit, because I've got like 5 artist editions now. But they're beautiful. I mean, it's like Joe said, it's like you get these omnibuses, it's the same thing.
Yeah, with
it's
Byrne,
oversized,
the more detail you can see, the more you're going to find.
The better you are. And it's just amazing that, I mean, John and I were talking about this a while ago. It's the economics of it. Once you take that hit, once you say, okay, I'm going to take that $100 hit.
Yeah.
It's so worth it. But getting to that point where you're willing to do that.
Yeah.
You know, even though you know that it makes sense on a per issue basis, and especially for what you're getting for the money.
Yeah.
But
try to convince me, drop $100. I'm like, no. Yeah. But then, now I've got 14 of these things sitting on my shelf. I have $1,400 worth of comic books.
And it's the matter of when they break it into trades. It's like, okay, I could spend $20 a week for the next month, or I could take that whole month's money and buy one book
that has
it all better. It's always worth it. It's one of those things, I say this about like Hot Toys figures too. It's like, they're really expensive and I never regret it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about the Omnibuses. The ones I have, I don't think I've sold a single Omnibus, and I've sold Masterworks and trades all the time.
Yeah.
But it's like, you never want to pay that money. It always hurts, especially when you get them into the shop. And I think I'm going to get like 3 Batmans and leave, and there's a $100 book there.
Yeah.
But it's like, I got the Uncanny Omnibus too, and I'm never going to sell it. I'm actually going to sell my Marvel Masterworks, which I thought I'd never sell.
Yeah.
Because it just blows them away.
Yeah. And they also get the old letters columns and things like that, and some of the special features that you don't get with the Masterworks.
Yeah, I remember some of them collect like old t-shirt designs and old poster designs and stuff. Like, it's really cool stuff.
Yeah, the Blu-rays of comics. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's like the best presentation possible and all the extras you'd possibly want.
Yeah.
They're beautiful. Stu?
All right, well, my greatest thing is I'd like to offer pretty much like an two open challenges. One, come in any Thursday, Saturday or Sunday, and we will teach you how to play HeroClix. It will take 15 to 20 minutes to play a game, and I dare you to not want to play another game. And then my second challenge is to anybody that already knows how to play HeroClix and wants to come and try and challenge me. Because I'll, any point value you want, come in, you show me your team, give me, I'll even say 5 minutes to make my team, and I will beat whatever you bring into the store.
And that is at 19 South LaGrange Road at Chimera Comics.
There we go.
Yeah, Stu's waiting for you. That's the perfect place to end. So I'm going to do mine very, very quickly. Now that Breaking Bad is ending, we're down to the last three episodes. And I mentioned this on the show when it came back. Within the last week or two, especially being home with the baby, it's streaming on Netflix. And I started, we watched the pilot again just to see if it would line up really well with where we are, how much the show had changed. And in the last week, I've done five seasons again. And I always said about Breaking Bad, it's a great show, but it's so intense. And I want to find out what's happening. I'll probably never buy it on DVD.
Yeah.
Now I'm watching it the second time. Everything fits together.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Stuff that's happening now, the seeds were planted in season two.
Oh, shit.
And it could well be. We'll see what happens when it ends. Because there have been so many shows that I thought were the greatest show on TV until that last season
Don't
botched it.
Don't stop believing.
But this could well be, if it maintains the level of quality that it has done with these episodes, this could be the best show that's ever made.
Wow, no shit.
Yeah, I followed Lost, I followed X-Files, I followed Simpsons.
Dexter, yeah. Breaking Bad or Dexter?
I only saw the pilot of Dexter.
You know what? I watched every episode of Dexter, and it's... They hit a high point a couple, like a season or two ago. It's never hit that again. And yeah. It's still good, but
the John Lithgow stuff.
Yeah, they've never hit that height. So it's like.
See, Breaking Bad is just. Each season's been a little better.
Yeah.
Just built and built. And I thought season four, and I know you haven't watched it yet, so no spoilers. I thought season four was going to be the peak.
Yeah.
And now I'm watching season five again, which was last year, and the episodes that are airing now. And it's just still great.
Still
well, I
up.
Think they had the ending of that written out before he did the first. You know, yeah. Like he knew how he wanted it. But when he came up with the story, it's like, the story is introduced like, hey, I'm dying. I don't care. Like, he knew how he was going to die.
Yeah, it's
like,
not an ongoing.
That's
it.
Awesome.
He always had an end in sight, and we're going straight towards it with no compromises.
Yeah, it's. Nice. I don't think it's going to be a happy ending.
No. As always, you can follow me on my book on Twitter. That is the Caffeinated Comics page. Our Caffeinated Comics Facebook page. We're getting more and more listeners. We're getting more and more followers, which is awesome. I haven't checked our hit count in a while, but I think I'm going to say more people are listening to it, because why not?
Yeah. I feel like more
people
are.
We're doing a good job here.
Yeah.
Like us. Leave us a review if you want to. Follow, subscribe. We are on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. You can go direct to the source at caffeinatedcomics.blogspot.com, and you can leave a comment there on every posting. We'll show some of Stu's custom HeroClix.
Yeah, we'll put them on the Facebook page.
And we might even have video tutorials for this. I think that we've scratched the surface of this, and it's pretty deep, and I think there's a lot of people want to know more. So we'll try to give you some more supplemental things on the website.
Yeah.
And until then, we'll talk to you next week.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!